Thank you so much. And you do well if you turn your Bible again to the book of Jude here that we are working Sunday after Sunday. We have made the parentheses on the first Sunday, and God's willing, we continue. And today we're going to emphasize verse 8. So far, let's review a little bit what we have learned in the book of Jude and these epistles. We have noticed in this epistle that the apostle exhorted his readers to contend earnestly for the faith. And that's verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Then he made mention of ungodly men who have crept in into the church. And notice, if you look in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in awareness who were before of all ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into anything they want to turn. Now, then he reminded them with a great example of God's righteous condemnation that has been done in the past. In that cover verse, remember verse 5 and 7, the nation of Israel in the wilderness was one example. The angels who sinned was another example. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was another example. In other words, nothing is behind God, and you and I cannot do anything that God cannot look upon and will reward you with the correct punishment or the correct discipline. Now, at this point, Jude describes these ungodly men. Remember, in verse 4, he said there were some sneaky guys who came into the church, and they thought to be so religious and so good, but they have wrong doctrine, poison into the church. Now, he described these ungodly men today in the whole scripture. And verse 8 talks about them. So in this study this morning, we should consider Jude's description of these ungodly dreamers, I call it, because they dream that they can do harm to the body of Christ and then be unharmed themselves. They are dreaming because God protect his people. And so in this study, we shall consider the description of these ungodly dreamers, and noticing that what is said of them is summarized in one verse. Look at in verse 8. It says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. That word, all English word dominion, referred to a king. Remember, in the Bible, there is no American democracy. In the Bible, there is a king, and the king was God. And the people of God moved from God to a human king, and then there the people of God lost the theocracy, the ruling of God. And so God, so dominion despise authority, and then and speak evil of dignities. They speak evil of those who are in power, whether in the church or in the regime where they belong to. And so, as you elaborate, we're going to start with the last one, speaking evil. All right? We're going to take these three. We're going to take how they defile the flesh. We're going to study how they reject authority. And I want to start with how they speak evil. They speak evil of dignitaries, said the Bible. The word dignitaries come from the word doxa in the original language, meaning dignity, glory, glorious, honor, means precious, means sometimes worship. It can refer to angelic beings too, or those in position of authority. When you read the paper, a president goes to another country, or another president come to our country, the paper said the dignitaries, the people of high authority and high level. In either case, these ungodly dreamers will not hesitate to speak evil of them. In other words, not only criticize their work or make objection to their work, but they speak evil of these people. To illustrate the folly of their behavior, the dispute over the body of Moses is right here given. Look at in verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, thus not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." They are so belligerent in what they do that they attack the dignities of the Bible, and Moses was one of them. Moses was, if you talk to a Jewish person, they remember at least two people. They remember Moses and David. You can say anything that you want to a Jew, but don't touch Moses and don't touch David. All right? Then you are safe, because they love them with passion. And so these people even dispute about this. Now, it is proper. Moses was the lawgiver. He was the instrument that God used to put the Ten Commandments on this earth. And so the devil will dispute anything that is godly. Is that right? Anything that God produces, the devil is against it. Believe me. More you obey God, more you have the adversary against you. Some people said, "I just become a Christian and everything go wrong with me." It should be. Because now as a Christian, you stand for the truth. Now as a Christian, you stand clean before God. And what you did before, you rejected, no more sensitive to that. And so the devil passionately want to gain you back. And so in this verse 9, what the verse is saying is that the devil wants to destroy the law of God by destroying Moses. Remember, the Gospel of John explained this very well in chapter 1, who said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ in John 1:18. And so Moses is a representative of the law, and these people are against the law, like the Congress of the United States of America. See, if you say in the Congress that the Word of God said there is no abortion, they think you are crazy. See, and it's just terrible. So Michael the archangel, they're not to bring a or condemn judgment, saying only the Lord rebuke thee. In other words, there is no argument when people rebuke the Word of God. When people deny the Word of God, when people attack the Word of God, please do not waste your time. You say, "I talk to you again when you are willing to reason with me in the Word of God." And the reason is this. There is no argument to talk about it unless you use the Bible. The Bible is the only law, is the only commandment that people need to go by. And if you refuse it, And if somebody said, "No, I don't care about the Bible," well, I don't talk to them anymore. I said, when you consider the Bible, I'll talk to you again. Just like the archangel did. He said, "I don't talk to you. You deal in the day of judgment. You deal with Jesus." And I tell those people, "I don't talk to you. But when you die in the day of judgment, you talk to God and tell God, I disregard your word." And that's so important. So they speak evil of dignitaries. Don't think that this happened 2,000 years ago. They happen now. The Bible, the authority of God, is no longer America's pride. No longer. Wherever you go, in a school, any public place, any place you talked about it, it is denied to the very core. People do not want to. It is amazing. I had the pleasure to fly back from Oregon last night, and those tiny squeeze cigarette planes that do commuter work. And beside me was a Gordo who was a Christian. Gordon in Spanish is a friendly word. And he identified as a Christian and so on. And we were talking, and the lady who was a steward was a salesperson. Now they sell you things and they blame, you know. They sell you tickets for these, tickets for the others, and so on. And she said, well, give us a donation of $5. We give you $100 and Red Lions. Some of these big hotels and so on. And so the man asked the lady, where these $5 go? And she said, well, they go to save the legs of dogs and tails and things like that. And I said to her, well, what about babies? You think if we can give the $5 and start making a club to save babies? I said, well, babies are in problem. They die 10,000 a day. Where? In America. In America? Yeah, she said, the man said, in America. We like to give the money to save babies. He said, what hospital are you going to give it? No, not to hospital, to the Congress of the United States to change their mind for about abortion. And the lady was mad. She said, we have a right to do what we want with our body. See, that's against authority. Their body do not belong to you, ladies, belong to God. And you have no right. Actually, if you're married, belong to your husband. So you have two authorities above you, God and your husband. It's just amazing. Amazing how America is so far away. And the lady had no idea. She said, where do you get the idea that the baby, that the, something in the womb is a baby? Well, when you have it, what do you think it is? A doll? When you give life, we say in Spanish, do you say, whoa, whoa, whoa? You say, oh, how beautiful. You know, it's just so ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, it is ridiculous. But that's how it starts. You rebel against authority. You rebel against the law of God. And David said, in my womb, I was conceived by my mother. In my womb, King David came from the roof. He came from the wombs of a mother. You don't came from the roof of your house. You came from the wombs of your mother. And so they speak evil of dignitaries, they said. And whatever they do not, they speak evil of things they do not know. You know, look at verse 10 to 11. But these speak evil of the things which they know not. Like this lady told me in the plane. Oh, what do you think killing babies is? I said, killing baby in the womb. No, she said, I don't know. See, they speak evil of things that they do not know. You know, this is not new. This is absolutely not new. Look at verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Look at how far America went that back. We don't went back to the way of Abel, which is faith. We went back to the way of Cain, say the scripture. And if you are in Jude, just to the left a little bit, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 will tell you that the way of Cain is evil. 1 John 3:12 said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil. The works were absolutely evil. And in other words, they do not act in faith. If you go back just a little bit more to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11 and in verse 4, you find here Cain mentioned again, chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, by faith, Abel was able to see God and follow God. So they have gone, said verse 11 in Jude, they have gone the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is no faith. No faith. See? If you explain to a man of science that there is no evolution, God has created the world, God is spoke, and things came into existence, so that is no science. Well, you have to believe it. Or say, no, I cannot believe it. But what they tell you is harder to believe, that there was an explosion and things came about it. It's just crazy. But see, an unbeliever is crazy. I was crazy when I was an unbeliever. I have my own mind. I do my own decisions. I know what I'm doing. It's just crazy. And that's going to be, it is not new. It's 2,000 years ago that Jude explained that. They have gone in the way of Cain. You know, nothing is new in the world. It's go back to the creation. That's why people are enemies of Genesis. You go back to Genesis 3 and you find the root of all evil. They have run greedily in error. Look. Verse 11 says, woe unto them, Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and look at what the Bible said, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perish and gainsaying of Korah, or Korah, like they say in Hebrew. And so they have run greedily in the error of Balaam. Now, if you go to 2 Peter, you have a better explanation of that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 15. 2 Peter, right there, chapter 2 and verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In other words, love money under the table. And Balaam want to pay money, remember, so that they can speak against God. Actually, the people, they want to do anything they have in their hands possible to do against God. And the Bible record that in the book of Numbers. If you go to the book of Numbers in your Bible, in chapter 26 of the book of Numbers, and in verse 9. The Bible says, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, these is the Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron, and the company of Korah. Here is the mention in Jude, in verse 11, Korah. When they strove against what? Against the Lord. And so anything these bad guys do, they do it against the Lord. They speak and they use their tongue to produce evil against the Lord, against the Lord. Actually, everything they do, everything they can criticize is against the Lord. Oh, they're against talking about abortion. They're against talking about no sexual intercourse, not intimacy until marriage, said the Bible. They think you are crazy when you think in that way. You know, they think there is a cultural thing. Oh, said you keep yourself pure because that's a cultural thing to do. No, it's a command of God to do. See, and so on. And so they really they use their tongue to go against God. Now, there is a lesson for all of us in this. And you go back to Jude, very to the left is the book of James. And the book of James speaks how terrible is the tongue. Look in James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits. James chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the sheep, which, though they be so great, and are driven a fierce wind, and yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatever soever the governor listed. Even so the tongue is a little member, and both the great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire can kindle. And the tongue is a fire, a wall of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defile the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. In other words, whatever you said, be careful. Be careful. Be absolutely careful. Go a little bit farther to the back to the book of Titus. Just before Hebrews, the book of Titus. And look in the book of Titus in chapter 3 of Titus. And in verse 1 and in verse 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And we as Christians have to be careful. Whether we like President Obama and the Vice President, that's up to you. We can criticize work. We can have an opinion on this work and in the other. We can say this decision is not so democratic like our country used to be. Or we can say anything like that. But we cannot talk about the man that God put in power. We cannot put him down. Actually, we cannot speak evil of the man. You can say, I don't like his decisions. I don't like his studies. I don't like his administration techniques. I don't like the way he is moving America into a social this or the other. But you cannot talk about the man. You can talk about the works that he's doing, but not the man. The Bible does not allow you to do because God put the man in there. The people ask me in the plane, you know, we have four pastors of a boy in a small, tiny little corridor. And it was good. And they asked me, he said, do you think this president was put for the judgment of America? I don't know, sir. But was put by God? I know. Daniel 2:21 said, I raised the king and I put down. And I know, I said, that you Americanos vote for him because he legally is in power. And so, do not complain, just follow the rules, said the Bible. Oh, they were mad, but that's what the Bible said. Follow the rules. And so, what's the question? The question is, watch your tongue. You mean, Pastor, how am I going to do that? You know why we speak? Not because we have a vocabulary of this or the other. Jesus tells us why we speak. You go with me to Mark Gospel, please. Chapter 7. Mark Gospel, chapter 7. And look with me in verse 21. Mark Gospel, chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, death, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So here is the problem. The way you speak can be corrected if your heart can change. Like Jesus said today, come unto me and I will give you rest. So these people, verse 8 in Jude said, speak evil. Let that be no one of us. They speak evil. We can speak objectively, we can speak with observation, we can speak with wisdom, but let us not speak evil of none, of none. Now, secondly, they defile the flesh. Remember in verse 8, they defile the flesh. They were a spot in the love feast. If you go to Jude in verse 12, said, these are a spot in your feasts of love. You know what was the feast of love? The Lord's Supper. The feast of love was the Lord's Supper. They have the Lord's Supper, and they have a dinner before the Lord's Supper. And after the dinner, then they have the Lord's Supper. And there was a feast of love. Like our fellowship. We have the Lord's Supper first, and then the fellowship to follow. That's a feast of love. All right? And they said, there are spots in the feast of love. Because they feast without fear, according to verse 12. They are the spots in your feast of love when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. In other words, they have no fear of God. They take the Lord's Supper full of sin, full of bad intentions. They participate in the Lord's Supper like if nothing happened. They have no fear of God. And I said to the gentleman beside me in the plane, the problem one of America is not the merchants, it is not the economy, it is that we lost the fear of God. We lost that respect of God. I don't know if you've been in the Army, Navy, or Air Force, but if you've been there, you remember one ugly sergeant, all right, who really keep you in line, all right, and you were afraid of him. And you check your uniform, and you check everything was correct when they come to the inspection. That your things, and the thing is shine, everything okay, your shoes, the posture, the shoulders and the back, and you salute him, you know, properly. Otherwise, he smash it. And so you were really afraid of him. So there is no fear of God in the people's life. They do what they want, like if God is not watching. Also, they extend their depravity. And it's biblically illustrated. Look at verse 12 again. These are spots in your feasts of love and your Lord's Supper. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. Clouds they are without water. All right? So they have no results. When you fly high, 40,000 feet high, you see clouds without water. You know, if you see a cloud without water, you're not afraid, it's not going to rain. So there's no result. All right? Look at what they say in verse 12. Clouds without water, they are carried about of the winds, trees whose fruit wither. In other words, they don't have fruits. All right? The trees without fruit. You buy an orange tree, you buy a mandarin tree, and you buy all of these, and then you put it all, you treat it, after 2 years, no fruit. You say, boy, this tree is bad. It is an orange tree, but no fruits. If you're a Christian, you should have fruits. Verse 13, their shame comes forth by their own behavior. Look at verse 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering in stars to whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. So their shame is without direction, without orbit, wandering in stars. Their shame is without orbit. They do evil and evil, evil everywhere. They have no pattern in their life. They are terrible. And they, their condemnation is promised a long time ago. Look at in verse 14. And Enoch also, the seven from Adam, prophesy about this. Enoch, the seven from Adam, already talk about these people. You want to see it? All right. Genesis chapter 5. All right. That's the first book of the Bible. And there is how old is this prophecy? You know, the people think the prophecy is just recent. No, here's an old prophecy. Chapter 5, verse 19 to 24. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He's the first resurrected person. Boom, up to heaven. And so here you have the condemnation of these people was prophesied long, long time ago. All right? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5, please. 11, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. So he pleased the Lord, he spoke about the Lord, he gave notorious evidence that bad times will come into existence. So when people said, well, we are on the last time, the Lord is coming tomorrow because of this, I said, you're really kidding. From the very beginning, people were like today. Some people calculated that the life of the Old Testament is 6,700 years. You cannot calculate the life of the Old Testament because there was no decimal system there. Remember, decimal systems were created by the Egyptians. And so therefore they have a 1,600 decimal system. So with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, 1 to 6. And so you have to recalculate that. And then when you translate it into decimal, it doesn't fit. So long time ago, they have this. Long time ago. In other words, when man sinned in Genesis 3, everything started there. Every potential sin that you see today was right there in Genesis chapter 3. It's not that man became gradually a big sinner. He was a big sinner already. Once you disobey God once, that's it. You are gone. And Adam did. A mess. So they defile their flesh. Then verse 16 in Jude and verse 19, they reject authority. evidenced by the way they speak. Look at verse 16 in Jude, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their own mouth speak a great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Go with me for you Christians to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now look carefully with me, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Look what the Bible said. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You cannot murmur about authorities. Some kids, when they grow up, they told me they learn to talk bad about their pastors in their home. When the parents criticize the pastor badly in front of their children. Right in their home. See, they thought it was okay. It is not okay. Evidence by the way they speak. You cannot speak bad of an individual. God did not allow you. God have made them. So you cannot allow. You can speak with great wisdom about concerns about what the individual does, but you don't speak about the individual because God made him. And the evidence that they reject authority is by the way they talk. Look at in verse 19. Jude, and now go back to Jude, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. In other words, they have not the Spirit of God in their heart, so the only way they speak is with sensuality. Tremendous. I know this when I have my brief 1 hour sharing in the store there in McDonald's. This old man, 70, 75, 80, 85. Once in a while, a young lady come in to get a cup of coffee. And we are sitting on the side. And they look on it. And they look at it with a desire, a sexual desire. And they say, look at that. And I look to them and straighten their face. And what are you going to do with them? And what are you going to do? You're a dead man. What are you going to do? When are you going to think that there is more than sex? Don't you think your life has a soul? And oh, here we go again, they said. But see, sensuality is what male man, is living for without God. Without God. And an 80 years old man, I have a nice fellow, I cannot give you the name, but Greg knows, he's Italian. So he's 85, ready to go. And he's a character. And people think it's fun, and I don't think it's fun. I think it's showing what is in their heart and the urgency to change. And those people think they can live their whole life and I die, and goodbye. No, friend, that's not so. The Bible in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2, and in verse 3, makes a statement. The statement the Bible makes in Hebrews 2:3 is this. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? If we live in the way we want to in this world, and maybe you do so, and maybe you're a good financial man, and your life is full of pleasure and full of things, and so on, and you really enjoy it, and you disregard God, you think that you, when you die and you're in the presence of God, you're going to escape God? See, the reality that we are accountable to God is gone in the life of these people. The reason is they're unbelievers. They do not have the Spirit of God, so they cannot reason with God. But we need to aware them. What about us believers? It's time to grow up and watch our tongue. Actually, it's time to watch our heart. How, somebody told me, you're a psychologist, how, what do you recommend to people do so that they can change their vocabulary and speak well? I recommend it to you. We do it on Wednesday night here in church. We are reading 5 chapters of the Bible every Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday will be Genesis 11 to 15. And the reason is I want the church to put this book in the head. Actually in the heart. See, remember Psalm 119 verse 11? I have kept your word so I will not sin in my heart. The only reason these little children who are in church will be protected is if you parents read the Bible to them. If you go to public school, they will be against the Bible. I have news for you. They will deny the Bible. They will show them that the Bible is wrong. But if you are a good parent with a good Christian school in your own home, then you read the Bible. These are the best textbooks your children should have. And then after that, and I hope the Christian schools do that. These are the best. You read the Bible and leave it there. Leave it there. Somebody asked me in the plane, how are you so hot about that book? And I tell you how. I hate it first. I was 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And I remember my grandparents. At 5 p.m., which is afternoon in South America, they came to Swedish missionaries from Switzerland. They came in. They spoke French, spoke Spanish, spoke German. They came in. They said, oh, I hate them. Because when they came in, Grandma said, all right, the table in the dining room was shiny. The floors were shiny. The missionaries will sit. Cup of tea, cookies with tomatoes and so on. And they will open the Bible and they never end. Those people will never tire for an hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I said, when this end? Not knowing that God was putting the Bible in my head. Do I deny the Bible? Yes. Do I care less about the Bible? Yes. When God touched my heart, then I remember. Then I remember. Oh, that's what I know so many scriptures. I remember. I read it. I read it. And from time to time, those missionaries will go in French and read in French. Oh, my mommy, I said, well, you know, and then I get love for languages. So I can read more than one language. I can read Italian, I can read French, I can read Arab. Oh, and I start going on reading now the Bible in different languages. 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I 11 say, who cares about this? 16, I came back again. And my grandma, before she died, said, I hope you find the Lord before you become successful. And I did. Before I kicked my first ball in soccer, I knew the Lord. And what a protection. What a protection. My good friend, live under the fear of God. Watch your heart that your tongue may express the wisdom of God and the criteria of God. Don't point to man. Point man to Christ. And that will be the best. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the lesson in the book of Jude. Yes, they are evil men. They were evil men before, they are now, and they will be until you come again. But our job is to watch our heart, that we may no sin against you with our lips, and that we may point man to Jesus, our Savior, with kindness and meekness. In his name we pray. Amen.
much to read the Bible, meditate in your Bible, but we pray that the admonition of the book of Jude that we learned today be treasured in our heart. That as a result of that, we should be more careful in how we talk about people and about others, so that that will bring honor to you and give us the opportunity to share the real Jesus to people. And Lord, for these people who disregard your law, for these people who disregard everything that you do, have mercy on them. Have mercy. May they see the light as one day to show us the light. And may they come to you. We pray for our president, our vice president, our senate, our house of representatives, our mayors of the city, our councilmen, that they may consider again in their heart the law of the living God. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.